The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up. Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord. Earlier today's gospel reminds me of a little story about a husband who at home walked into the kitchen one day and found his wife down on the floor searching around for something. And he asked her, obviously, "Honey, what are you looking for?" She said, "I lost my contact lens. I've been looking for 20 minutes to try to find it." So he stood there and looked around, and very quickly he spied it and picked it up. And he said to her, "I found your lens." And she said, "How did you find it so quickly? I've been looking for 20 minutes. And he said to her, "You see a little piece of plastic, but I see $300. Right to it. How much we put a value on our sight, whether it be through lenses worn on our eyes or whatever it might be, how precious we guard, at least we should certainly guard our vision, and because it's all about the wider world around us. We see the people we love. We take it so for granted, like we do our senses, our smell, our taste, our touch, all of that. We wake up in the morning, open our eyes, and there's the world as it was when we went to sleep the same way. But just imagine, or it would be very difficult for any of us, I think, to imagine what it would be like to be blind, whether one is born that way or perhaps had their sight for a short time and then later, for some reason, lost it. Regardless, it would have been quite a difficult way to live indeed, depending so much on the compassion of others and hypersensitivity to one's smell and one's hearing in order to sense the world around them. Today in the gospel, we hear about another blind man who was healed by Jesus. This is a beautiful story because it's rich in symbols and rich in the whole process of conversion, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. We've been hearing the last several Sundays about the qualities of discipleship, important things for us to recognize in our life. Two Sundays ago, we had the story of the wealthy man who came running to Jesus, the best of intentions, wanting to do the right thing, had been doing the right thing, following the commandments, and says to Jesus, with all his wealth, "What more can I do? Is there something missing that I haven't done yet?" And Jesus says to him, not an answer he expected, "Let go of all that. Sell it all. Rid yourself of that burden, then come and follow me." Man went away grieving and sad. He could not let go of what was holding on to him. He could not be that kind of free disciple. So there's something about simplicity of life, about detachment, that is necessary in our following of the Lord. And last Sunday, of course, we heard the story of two very ambitious brothers, two of his apostles, James and John. And they come to Jesus and very brazenly ask that question, "We want to sit at your right and your left when you come into your kingdom. We want to be your prime ministers. We want to serve in your kingdom, be men of great influence and power." And Jesus said, asked them the same question, "What do you want me to do for you?" that he asked the blind man today. They didn't quite understand the full mission of Jesus yet and what it meant to follow him. And then Jesus says, "No, it's not about power and position and authority and fame. It's about service to your neighbor, serving in the name of Christ, servant leadership, to lead by service and example and witness to Christ." So there's something more about discipleship that also has that dimension to it. And then today, we see this blind man who comes to Jesus, or rather cries out when he hears that it is Jesus of Nazareth who's walking by. We can picture this scene very easily. Jericho, a dusty desert town about 15 miles outside Jerusalem. And blindness was not that unusual, apparently, in the day of Christ. In ancient times, there are many forms of various eye diseases that would go around afflicting people, and you were lucky to have clear sight. And so beggars along the road were very common for a variety of reasons, because there was no other way to support themselves. And so Bartimaeus appeared to me among all the other beggars that were crying out for help. They would take the cloak they would be wearing, everything they had, and lay it down, and people would throw money into it, and then they would gather it up, money or whatever might be in there. And that's the only help they could expect. And so Bartimaeus, very much in the same condition. We know this is not the first blind person that Jesus healed. During the season of Lent, we hear that other blind man that Jesus healed, the story of the man who then Jesus put mud paste on his eyes, said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," certainly a symbol as we approach Easter of the waters of baptism healing us, bringing us new vision that we might see and follow Christ in the waters of baptism. But this story is far more simple. There's no mud paste, there's no water. There's simply the profound faith of this man. But he is given a name. Very few people healed in the scriptures, the stories of healings, are identified with a name. So why would Mark do this and not the other healing stories? Why don't the other people all have names? Well, there must be something that he wants us to know about this man. Bartimaeus likely, or perhaps we can assume, the way this event ends, may have become a great leader or a leader in the early Christian community. And so everybody knew Bartimaeus, what a story he had to tell as he followed Jesus on the way. So there's something this man with dignity is identified. And here we are 2,000 years later, still talking about this anonymous blind beggar in ancient times along the dusty roads of Jericho. So it's good for us to pay attention to what Bartimaeus teaches us, as he taught the early Christians too. So as Jesus walks into the town, he cries, he's shouting, he's yelling over the crowd. He becomes pretty much annoying, it seems. And so people said, they probably were just annoyed by these people that were in the way or maybe making noise and disturbing the peace, whatever. And so they say to Bartimaeus, as he's calling out, "Jesus, Son of David," a messianic title, a correct identification of who the person of Christ is. This man knew what the apostles only came to come to realize gradually over time about who Jesus is and his mission in the world. Bartimaeus identifies him already, somebody he has never seen but only heard about. He knows that Jesus could do something. He heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, and he cries out, "Son of David, have pity on me. Have mercy, have pity on me." And Jesus then asks Bartimaeus, who had no other ambitions because he had nothing. He could lose nothing because he had nothing as he came to the Lord. And Jesus asks him the same question we heard last week. What do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus? And Bartimaeus gives an obvious answer. I want to see. What other question would a blind person desire more than anything? To be able to see. But apparently the Greek translation of this adds a little more, fleshes out that statement. And it's what Bartimaeus is saying to Christ. I want to see your face. Jesus, I want to see you. What a powerful difference that makes. And so the Lord grants him that request because of his great faith. Bartimaeus asks nothing for himself other than he could see the face of Christ, see the face of God. And then what does Bartimaeus do? He follows the Lord. I can imagine, or as one writer said, we can imagine that his family may have been very upset with him. Because Bartimaeus, you've got your sight. Look at all the wonderful things you could do, all the ways you can now interact with the world around, all the opportunities now to be among. What a story you have to tell. What did Bartimaeus do when Jesus called him? So there's something about discipleship and being called by the Lord. We're all called to serve the Lord in some way. We're all called by Christ to carry on the mission that he has entrusted to all of us, each in our way, with lives that are simple and not attached with desire for humble service, an example to one another, witness to the faith. And as Bartimaeus throws off the only thing he had, his cloak, he comes to Christ, and Jesus gives him something more powerful. He could see the face of Christ now, and it said he followed him on the way. He followed him. He didn't just walk off. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate it. Now I can see, and I'll go on about my business, back to my family. Sometimes it seems in the healing stories, those who were touched were healed. They were grateful, but then they just sort of disappear. Bartimaeus did not disappear. He followed Christ. He answered the call, and he went on to something great, adventure in Christ. That, too, is part of our lives as disciples in Christ. And so we are challenged today to look at whatever blindness we may have, whatever part of us we're not willing to submit to be healed. What did Bartimaeus do? Discipleship becomes a need that I have, presenting that need to the Lord and being grateful and thankful when that need is answered, and then to be loyal to the one who answered our prayer. As Bartimaeus then decided, now I want everything. He had nothing. He went to the one who could give him everything. Discipleship. And so off he goes with the Lord. What an important lesson that is for all of us, maybe who hold on to things that we know we should rid ourselves of. And so there's something in all of this for us as disciples of Christ. When we come together and gather in faith in the Eucharist, we recognize our own call to Christ. How willing are we to respond to that call when Jesus calls every one of us?